since seems no one else is wanting to move, I thank the Lord for the service. But I'd like to just talk a little bit about teaching along the line of the will of God. And I would like my effect of my thought would be to create in the heart of everyone a fervent desire to do the will of God. Matthew 7 and 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Recorded again in John chapter 6, Jesus' own words in the 38th verse, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Then he repeats it again. "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." Recorded again in Philippians chapter 2. These wonderful words of the beloved apostle. Verses 12 and 13. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." That is a wonderful thought. God wants to work his sovereign will in your life. But you have a will. Did you know that? And did you know, my dearly beloved, that God will not work over and right over your will? He will not do that. He wants you to be willing. We have a scripture in Isaiah 1 that says, "If ye be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword." You know, we need to look and see and behold. As we hear the word of God preached and taught and as we read it, we need to look and behold what is the will of God for me. And then have such a fervent desire and a willing heart to allow that will to be done. We have part of the Lord's Prayer that he gave us in the 6th chapter of Matthew. We could quote that. It's, I tell you what, I learned, and I still, as a general rule, let this be the guideline of my prayers. I don't just say it word for word entirely, but I let it be a guideline for my prayers. And one of the things that he said for us to pray, he said in verse 9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, this is should be a desire. This should be a real passionate desire. A real earnest desire that of our hearts that the will of God be done in my life. But let's remember, you have a will. You have something to say. God will not force himself upon you. He wants us all to have a submissive heart to the will of God. Every one of you individually, just because you're doing something is no sign that God wants you to do it. See, you're a free moral agent. You can do what you want to do. You can go out and kick yourself up against the wall if you want to. He won't try to stop you. No, you can go out and paint the town if you want to. He won't try to stop you. One young man said one time after he went out and made a big mess of things, did all kinds of foolish things, he come back and he says, "Why did God let me do it?" Well, God and people try to blame God for all the trouble in the world. But listen, man is a free moral agent. And if he goes out and does his own will and makes a big mess of things, you can't blame God for that. Because God wants something different, but man wants something different. So Lord, help us today that we will have a real submissive spirit to the will of God. Now I want to call you to mind the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, and it is quoted and applied in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. It's one of golden texts in the Bible to me. In the 40th Psalm, it says, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but mine ears hast thou opened. I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart." Now, in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, he applies that and quotes it from the Septuagint. "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, neither has delight herein that is offered by the law, but a body hast thou prepared me." And it says, "Lo, it is written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God." Now, the combination of those two texts shows that it was Christ's purpose. It was his desire. It was his decision when he came into the world to do the will of his Father, not his own will. He said, "I delight to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart." This is the spirit we should have, a delight to do the will of God. You know, I have found in my Christian life where I am the most happy, where I have the most spiritual rest and peace, where I am greatly delighted in my soul, is when I know that I have done the will of God, even over against and above my own pleasure. There are times when God is going to cut right across your desires, your pleasure, your will, and you will have to submit if you want to be with him and enjoy his blessings. But you see, it's so easy. Young people, I would that you would think seriously about these few words I'm speaking to you this morning. The will of God is the thing that'll bring happiness to your life. The will of God, not your own pleasure, going out and having fun and dressing like the world, winning the world's praise and popularity. No, that's not happiness. You won't be satisfied. You'll try. You can have your privilege. You can go after those things if you want. They're out there. They're out there just waiting for you. But that's not what you want. That's not what will bring happiness to your life. What will bring happiness and satisfaction and peace is for you to find out and understand and know what is the will of God, and then be faithful to do it every day, all your life's journey, and know that you're in the will and order of the Lord. Dear ones, that's what will make you happy. We find in Romans 12 and 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world," he said, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That ye might prove it, that ye might know it, that ye might experience it, that ye might let it be done. You must make a sacrifice. I want to tell you something. You listen. This is not very popular thing for you to make a sacrifice of your body to God. But that's what you should do.
And why should you?
Because our Lord Jesus Christ did that. He sacrificed. He offered His body. Over there in that 10th chapter of Hebrews, it goes on to say, we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You see, when Jesus offered His body, He submitted to the awful, cruel mistreatment and abuse of those evil men. He didn't try to stop them. They came right out and they arrested Him. He just let Him have Him. He went right on to that cross. He never drew back from it. He had a temptation in the garden, as you read over there in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And He had the temptation to draw back. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But He said, nevertheless, if it not be but what I must drink this cup, Thy will be done. Oh, dear ones, can't you picture our Lord Jesus Christ? You think you've got troubles. You think you've got hard places. Listen, our precious Savior faced the awfulest death and suffering that man could ever go through. Yes, He did. He faced it. He never drew back. Why? Because He knew it was His Father's will to die on the cross for the humanity, to give His life as a soft offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. My dear ones, today, why do we want to go after self and the flesh and the world? Why do we want to listen to the devil and lead us in these paths of vanity and pride when we know that Jesus gave His life and He submitted to the Father's will? Oh, Lord, help us today. Give us a vision of the will of God for us. God's working with you. He's working His sovereign will for you, dear ones. And you must be submissive and work along with Him in cooperation with His supreme, sovereign will. I want to tell you something. God's will is going to be done in your life, whether you want to or not. It's going to be done. But it's good for us to submit ourselves to the will of God so that His will be done for our salvation. Now you can go after the will of the flesh. Jesus was born according to the first chapter of John. He was born not of the flesh, the will of the flesh, or the will of man. But He said He was born of God. And also those who believe in Him are born not after the will of the flesh or after the will of man, but after God. Listen, we need to just have this desire in our hearts to do the will of God. And Jesus says, if a man will do the will of God, he'll know of the doctrine. Listen, it is just so important for us to be submissive to the will of God. There's that song, number 152, one of the most sublime songs I've ever heard in all my life. I think about it often. I go over in my mind. It is a wonderful song. The scene of the one there in the gloom, be down on his knees, pray and seeking God. Oh, dear ones, today he bowed his head, God's only son, and said in prayer, Thy will be done. With tears he knelt with troubled soul, while there he felt death's sorrows roll. He our sins he bore, God's only son, and said once more, Thy will be done. And then before his vision came, the crown of thorns, the cruel shame, the scorn of those he sought to save, the reeking cross, the silent grave. This bitter cup, O Lord, I pray, before I sup, take thou away. But linger still as there he knelt, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Gethsemane, O sacred place, once more I see my Savior's face. It shines anew with glory now, and angels soothe his pallid brow. Oh, may I e'er this scene behold, oh, may I e'er the story told of him who there the victory won, who said in prayer, Thy will be done. In Philippians, the second chapter, it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, counted it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Dear ones, did you ever think about studying those words? Those are sacred words to me. It said Jesus, being in the form of God, he was equal to God. He was up there in the beginning with God, as he said different times. But you know, it said he counted not. The Greek text says he counted not equality with God a thing to be held on to, but he relinquished it and emptied himself. Oh yes, he came down. Give us that mind. Not our own selfish desires. Not our own good pleasure that we think is so good. Not our own plans and ambitions and all these things resolved and dreams and everything that people have. Lord, we want the will of the Lord to be done. We want you to have your way. I have desires, yes. We all have desires. We all have good things and pleasures. But oh, dear ones, to say, thy will be done. Thy submit yourself. You know the Apostle Paul. I marvel at him. How when he was on the road to Damascus, fighting against the church, fighting against the truth, fighting against the religion of Jesus Christ, and he was smitten down by a great light from heaven, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus answered him and said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. There's something happened in that man's heart right there, I do believe, because he responded with, Lord, what do you want me to do? I wonder, would it be your desire and your decision, young people, everyone? I don't know all about your problems. I don't have to know everything. God knows it all. We all have things to overcome. We all have battles. We all have situations. I had things before I was saved I had to give up. It wasn't easy, but I wanted to please the Lord. I wanted to do God's will. And all along the way, it's just been time after time a submission of my will. That's what it is. That's the way the Christian life goes. You think you want to do this. You think you want to do that. The Lord says, no. You know, we need to live close to God. God can help us to know what His will is, dear ones. He can help us to know how to submit to Him. He works in such wonderful ways. I love the Lord today. He's so wonderful to me. He's so real. He's so precious. It's getting better all the time. But I know I must constantly say yes to the will of God. And sometimes it's just like a brand new effort. It's just like a brand new consecration. To say yes to the will of God. But dear ones, it's worthwhile. The greatest sacrifice that you could ever make. The greatest problem that you could ever dissolve before the Lord. And humble yourself and submit. It's worth it all when His will takes over. Oh, listen, His will is to work His sovereign will. His good pleasure in your life. But if you stiffen up. And you refuse and you rebel, you will not enjoy the blessings of His precious will. It says, love not the world, 1 John 3:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, listen, the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't you want to abide forever? Don't you want to be with Jesus in that final roundup, in that final resurrection? Don't you want to be with Him? I do. But it's going to take saying amen to the will of God. The Apostle Paul was on his way to Jerusalem. One time over there in Acts, he was on his way. He felt the Lord wanted him to go to Jerusalem. And while he was there, in a certain place on his way, a prophet, Agabus, stood up and took his mantle and tied his hands up with it. And he says, thus shall they do to the man that owns this mantle at Jerusalem. And all the brethren and all the saints gathered around and started talking to Paul. And they cried and they wept and they talked to him. They said, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. And you know, the apostle Paul said, why do you weep and break my heart? He said, I'm not willing only to suffer at Jerusalem, but he said, I'm willing to give my life to. And then it said, they all said, the will of the Lord be done. Oh, dear ones, that's what we want to do. We just want to say the precious will of God be done. Make a consecration of your life. If you haven't done it, if you haven't come to a place of utter consecration at this altar or wherever you can find an altar, I'll tell you, dear ones, it'll pay you dividends beyond expression to make that sacrifice and be purposed to do the will of God. Give up your pride. Give up your selfish desires. Give up your pleasures, your fleshly ideas and hopes and dreams and ambitions and dreams. Give up those things. Just be willing to let the will of God be done. Wait on the Lord. The Lord will help you. He'll help you to know, as long as you have your will in mind and it's up there and that's the thing you're striving for, you'll never know the will of God. He won't show you His will. But whenever you come to that place of utter resignation, Lord, I take my hands off. Your will be done. I'm going to tell you, I've experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. When you make that sacrifice, the God of heaven takes over with blessings you never dreamed possible. It's the truth. Lord, help us today. I just had this so earnestly on my heart. Just sitting over there just like a charged battery almost. Just wanting to bring it out. But it saw we had a wonderful service. I kept watching that clock and I thought, well, praise the Lord. I think I could get it in. Praise the Lord. Pray for me. I want to always do the precious will of God in my life.